Penguin Random House Audio presents The Wolf's Call, a Raven's Blade novel by Anthony Ryan. Read for you by Stephen Brann. Part 1. The Raven's Blade cuts deep, laying bare my sins. Siorda Poem, author unknown. Lurelin's Account. The First Question. There are many these days who call my brother a monster. They speak of his deeds, both dreadful and wondrous, as the work of a preternatural beast that had somehow taken on the form of a man to wreak the greatest havoc upon the world. There are others, in the more shadowed and wretched corners of the earth, who still call him a god, though when they do, the word is always spoken in a fearful whisper. Curiously, neither those who think him monstrous nor those who think him divine ever speak his true name, even though they know it as well as I. Kelbrand, my brother whom, despite it all, despite every battle, conquest, and massacre, I still contrive to love. But, I hear you ask, most honoured reader, how can this be? How is it possible to harbour love for a man who bathed half the world in blood? In these quieter days, far removed from the frenzy and terrors of war, I have the leisure to consider such questions. As the years pass, and ever more grey creeps into the once auburn mane that crowns my head, as yet more aches beset my joints, and I squint ever closer at these pages as I write, it is this question I ponder most. Honoured reader, rest assured that I know you did not open this volume to endure an old woman's complaints. No. You wish to know of my brother, and how he came to reshape the world entire. But his story cannot be told, unless I also tell mine, for we were bound tight, he and I. Through blood and purpose, we were bound tight. For many years it was as if we shared a soul, so mirrored was our intent, our commitment to our holy mission. But the mirror, I have come to learn, is the worst of liars. And no mirror remains uncracked by time. It has taken me years of contemplation to identify the moment when I became truly bound to Kelbrand. Perhaps it was when I slipped from the back of my first horse at age 7 and spent several moments whimpering over the bleeding scrape on my knee. It was Kelbrand, just a day or so shy of his 12th year, who came to me. As the other children of our Skeld laughed and threw dung at the sobbing weakling, it was my brother who came and helped me to my feet. Already he was long of limb, with the leanness of a born warrior, standing at least a foot taller than I, as he would for the rest of our lives. "Druid Tavarik, little colt," he said, voice soft with concern as he spoke the priest's term for those who carry the divine blood, thumbing the tears from my eyes. "Do not weep." With that, he gave a smile of apology before forming his features into the customary mask of harsh disdain and delivering an open-handed slap to my face. The blow was hard enough to send me to the ground, with the iron sting of blood on my tongue. I spent several seconds blinking in confusion, although I was surprised to find my tears had stopped flowing. Looking up through bleary eyes, I saw Kelbrand advancing on the other children. He made straight for the tallest, a burly boy a year his elder named Obvar, who was always to be found at the forefront of my tormentors. "Druid Tavarik," my brother repeated, delivering a closed fist directly into Obvar's face, "cannot be judged by the merely mortal." The subsequent fight was both lengthy and bloody, becoming something of a legend amongst the youngsters of the Skeld. It greatly overshadowed the insult done to a child of the Druid Tavarik, which was soon forgotten. This, I later realized, had been Kelbrand's intention, for the priests were given to punishing such things harshly. When it was over, Obvar lay groaning on the ground, bleeding from numerous cuts, whilst Kelbrand, no less bloody, remained standing. As is often the way with boys, in the days that followed, he and Obvar became the closest of friends, remaining sworn saddle brothers until one particular and very fateful day some 20 years later. But, honoured reader, it appears I'm getting ahead of myself. But no, important lesson though it was, we were not truly bonded that day, nor, strangely, the morning after I had my first true dream. You must understand that the power of the divine blood is fickle. Although those of us fated to join the ranks of the Druid Tavarik are born to mothers with manifest gifts, such gifts are not always passed on. In many cases, they lay dormant throughout childhood, only manifesting themselves with the onset of puberty. So it proved with me. At the dawning of my 12th summer, the week of my first blood, the true dream made itself known. You must forgive my meagre literary skills, honoured reader, for I find it hard to convey in words the utter terror of that first dream. I use this term as I find the word vision somewhat silly, not to say inadequate. The true dream is a state beyond reality, although it feels completely real to one captured in its throes. The confusion and dulled sensations of a mundane dream are not present. The feel of the air on skin, the scents carried by the wind, the warmth of a flame or the sting of a cut. All these are present and felt in full. That night, as I lay on my mats in the tent I shared with the other favoured children of the Skeld, I found myself claimed by a sleep as deep and absolute as any I had known. It was as if a black veil had been placed over my eyes, banishing all light and sensation. And when it was drawn aside, I found myself standing amidst horrors. I remember the screams most of all. The pain of a dying soul is a hard thing to bear, especially if you have never heard it before. I had seen people die by then, heretics, slaves, and those who transgressed the laws eternal, were routinely bound and forced to kneel beneath the executioner's blade. But those deaths had been quick, a swift stroke of the saber, and their heads would roll on the earth. Their bodies might twitch, sometimes their faces too. A ghastly sight for any child to witness, but still mercifully brief. What I witnessed in that first true dream was not lawful execution. It was battle. The doomed man lay against the flank of a dead horse, eyes wide in terror and bafflement, as he stared at the mess of entrails that had been his belly. His mouth gaped as he screamed, hands crimson with gore as they tried to stuff the gelatinous tubes back inside his body. Surrounding us was a maelstrom of thundering hooves, clashing blades and the shrill cries of distressed horses, all shrouded in a thick pall of dust. Battle was a regular occurrence on the Iron Steppe in those days. It was a time when the Stahlhast endured a painful transition from disunited and endlessly feuding Skelds to what could be called a true nation. It seemed as if every other month the warriors would strap their bows to their saddles and work stones over their sabres and lance points before mounting up to ride off in one great host. After days or perhaps weeks, they would return, always victorious, the heads of enemies dangling from their saddles. Come the night, they would drink and tell tales of their great deeds, tales I found did not match the nightmare that enfolded me now. My eyes flicked from one horror to another. A crawling man trailing blood from the stumps of his legs. A horse thrashing in a pool of guts and shit leaking from unsundered bowels. And there, amidst it all, Kelbrand, my brother standing tall. As was his wont in battle, he wore no helm, the long braid of his hair whirling as he fought, beset by foes on all sides. There must have been a dozen of them, their armour embossed with the red bird sigil of the Rikar Skeld, our most hated enemy. Time after time they came for him, and time after time his sabre cut them down. My brother moved as if in a dance, sidestepping every thrusted lance, ducking every slashing blade, and leaving a trail of corpses in his wake. He seemed invincible, unstoppable, making my heart swell with pride, despite the continuing nightmare all around. But, as I have learned many times,
Sample complete. Ready to continue?